Back on Get Up before we go back to the championship game. Wake up call, Fernando Tatis Jr.
High drive, deep left field. At the wall, gone. Padres trailed 8-0. Hernando makes it 9-8. Unbelievable.
In case it wasn't clear from the play, they were losing that game 8-0. They came back and won 9-8. That home run won it. That might be as far as I've ever seen a person hit a baseball. What do we get? Do we have the, what was the final measurement on that one, Hembo? Do we have it? That ball, I think, is still, I think I'm not 100% sure. I'm being told it still hasn't come down. That's about as far as you've ever seen a baseball get hit. All right, Legler is here. Uncle Seth is here. RG3, Marcus, we're jam-packed this morning. We're live from the Seaport. We are brought to you by Chase, and there is only one place to begin. Someone was cutting down the nets last night. It was going to be one of the two big men. It was Klingon. It was Edie. It was the one seed, UConn and Purdue. And in the early action, Edie just looked unstoppable.
Yeah, Purdue going to their strength. Great job getting downhill right there. And Edie just occupying all that space in front of the rim. He was dominant in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, 37 points and 10 rebounds. The problem is none of his teammates gave him practically any help, and on the other side, you had UConn getting it from everywhere.
Yeah, they didn't light it up from the three, but they made six of them, and that was enough on this night. Great job on the offensive glass by Klingon. And this right here, I mean, I still couldn't believe what I saw, and I watched the replay, and I still don't believe it. One of the best putback dunks you will ever see.
Camden Heidi, but that was about the last highlight that Purdue would have. Let's show you the throwdowns. It's Newton to Johnson. Oh, and then here we go. Same verse. Second time, Newton to Johnson. Newton had 20.7 assists. Stephon Castle gets in the act. Connecticut just had too much.
Too much versatility, too much discipline on both ends of the floor.
The celebration is on. Dan Hurley and UConn cutting down the nets for back-to-back championships. Zach Edey goes off after an extraordinary career, but it is Dan Hurley and UConn, champions of the basketball world, and he has the historical perspective.
Obviously, you know, what could you say? We won by a lot again. It's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again, to do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke.
Uncle Seth is up, no relation from Phoenix. Tell America what you just said to me.
I said, Greeny, I got to give you credit. Greeny, I think you said it after their first win, maybe might have been after the second round. You said no one is coming within 10 points of this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. That said, Seth, there's something very satisfying as a sports fan, regardless of who you're rooting for, because the NCAA tournament doesn't always go this way. On Sunday, the best team in the country won. South Carolina, they cut down the nets. Last night, the best team in the country won. UConn, they cut down the nets. What made them that this year?
They were the most dominant team in college basketball because they're the most complete and the most connected team in college basketball. There was a collective responsibility to everything they do. Their approach is just different, and it starts at the top. It starts with Danny Hurley. This is how dominating they've been. Their walk-ons finished every single game in the NCAA tournament. Think about that. They took away everything that Purdue wanted to do. They ran them off the three-point line. Purdue assists on 65% of their field goals. All right, think about it. 65% of their field goals. They had more turnovers than assists. Braden Smith had 8 assists for Purdue last night. You know who the next closest person? There isn't a next closest person. All right? The next closest person had 0 assists. Their ability to run them off the three-point line, defend Klingon man-to-man, I mean, excuse me, Edie man-to-man, was obviously the difference. But to me, it's Danny Hurley, his approach, his game planning, the collective responsibility, and the accountability that he holds his team to every day. I go over and watch them practice all the time. What you saw there the last 3 weekends, and people were watching college basketball and locked in, I see every single time I go to practice. Every single time I go to practice, there's a standard. I call them Saban-esque. They're Saban-esque in how they run that program. They don't have the number of championships. Dan Hurley only has 2 right now. But in the manner in which they run that program, there's Saban-esque. And one other guy that's kind of a connection to Hurley is Cam Spencer is Dan Hurley playing on the floor. He's got that same energy, the same passion. You talk about the transfer portal. He was the perfect transfer for this program.
Legs, to illustrate the point or to sort of amplify the point that Seth made about the assist totals, you said to me, you could watch basketball for 100 years and not see another box score like
You'll never see one that looks like that. One made three in an era of three-point shooting. You can go to any middle school game in the country tomorrow, and each team's making more than one three. That's just the way basketball looks now. To see one made three on a team, by the way, that heavily relies on that shot and the assist numbers. One player to assist on your entire team, I think it speaks to two things. Number one, it speaks to the great defensive job and the discipline that UConn had. It also speaks to some of the limitations that were exposed on Purdue's personnel, that there wasn't a counterpunch. There's no other way for them to play if a team is going to be that disciplined about taking away the three-point shot and your reliance upon it. There are not enough guys that can put the ball on the floor and go make something happen and put pressure on UConn defensively. I think that's what that assist number really indicates. One player to get an assist in a game, you just don't see that at all in basketball.
All right, and so, Uncle Seth, I was trying to get the video turned around. We can't do it quickly enough, but I have been called out this morning by your friend and mine, our favorite UConn alum, Dan Orlovsky, who was so mad at something I said this morning that he didn't even text me. He actually recorded a video and sent it to me. So our crew is trying to turn it around as quickly as they can. But I will paraphrase it for you. He said, Greeny, you cannot say that Kentucky is the bluest of the blue bloods. The bluest of the blue bloods is UConn, and Dan Hurley isn't going anywhere. Is that true? In the day and age in which we live, look, Seth, you and I, we're old. So to me, I mean, Kentucky basketball will always be something different. It's like, you know, it's like Alabama football and the Yankees. But in this day and age, is Connecticut now the bluest of the blue bloods in college basketball?
They're the new blood and the bluest of the blue bloods. If you think they got six national championships in the last 25 years, Greeny. Six. You think about Kentucky's championships. Most of their championships were in the past. They got three in the last 25 years. Duke has three in the last 25 years. North Carolina has three in the last 25 years. UConn has six. Six. So when you look at the blue bloods, this Connecticut team is the bluest of bloods. And what I call new bloods for the generation that's watching college basketball today, Connecticut is the standard. Not Kentucky, not Duke. Now, there are obviously issues moving forward. The culture and the models of college basketball and what's happening in college athletics across the board, can they maintain it? Is the Big East the answer? Big East has won four national championships in the last 10 years. Four. Villanova's won two. Connecticut's won two. You can win a national championship, but moving forward, when the model of college athletics changes, that's the big question. It's not where they are today, because they can do it today. What's going to happen with the model of college athletics? That's the question that Danny Hurley's got to ask himself. I think he fits Connecticut, and I think maybe Connecticut ends up in the ACC. Maybe that's their destination, so they can be in that elite group of conferences where the money is generated.
That's right. And we all know that football is really driving that bus for all of this conversation. And to just to sort of further make your point, in the last 10 years, the Big East has won four men's basketball championships. The Big Ten, which was in the title game last night, hasn't won a single one since 2000 when Tom Izzo and Michigan State cut down the nets. So I understand it from that perspective. Still, there are a variety of circumstances here. As far as Calipari leaving, Seth, I'm glad to have you with us this morning. I just want to play this. So we were talking about Cal leaving yesterday. Your buddy, Jay Will, and when I say buddy, I'm your frequent sparring partner, Jay Williams, came on with me yesterday morning and had a message for Big Blue Nation. I want you to hear it.
We're having John Calipari leave Kentucky for Arkansas? A parallel move in the SEC? And he's going to take Kentucky recruits with him to Arkansas? That's what happened? That's what we're watching? Who leaves Kentucky basketball for Arkansas? That's what we just watched happen. My mind is blown this morning, Greeny. I can't believe they let him leave. You don't let John Calipari leave Kentucky basketball. I'm sorry.
And that was just part of a larger rant, I suppose, in which he basically was making the point, they're going to regret this. If they think the grass is going to get much, much greener than what John Calipari gave them, they're in for a rude awakening. Is he right?
Look, Kentucky's still a good basketball job, but they haven't invested in their basketball program. They invested in John Calipari. They've gotten great recruits. Since COVID is where John Calipari's downfall has been, because the model of recruiting of one-and-dones, the new one-and-done is the transfer portal. They can get a coach that's going to win. They're not going to get a coach that can understand the complexity of what it is to be the head coach at Kentucky. It's a different job. The Big Blue Nation is different. The expectation is different. Everyone wants to win. The Big Blue Nation, they're fanatical. So you know what? John Calipari left. And I said this, and I'm getting ridiculed for it. I don't really care about it. All right. John Calipari didn't leave Kentucky. He moved to Arkansas. But you know why? Because he was wanted. John Calipari left because he didn't have a relationship with his athletic director. That's a fact. John Calipari left because they haven't done anything with their facilities in the last 15 years. John Calipari left because, you know what? Maybe it was time to leave. Maybe all of a sudden, you know, look, as a coach, all right, if you're not on the same page with your administration, if you don't feel like they're in it with you, and I understand that, look, Mitch Barnhart's a terrific athletic director, but the relationship was broken. And when the relationship with your athletic director is broken, it's time to move on. Your athletic director stayed. He's moving on to Arkansas, where he's going to have $5 million in NIL money. $5 million. That's his salary cap for the next 3 years. So he's moving on to Arkansas to what I predict in the next 3 years, he will be in a Final Four.
Arkansas in the Final Four in the next 3 years, says Seth Greenberg. And by the way, that video we showed you see how young Anthony Davis looked? That's the last time they cut down the nets in Kentucky. I mean, that, take it for what it's worth. You just ran through all these teams that have been winning lately. None of them have been them. Uncle Seth, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you getting up early with us from Phoenix this morning and all season long. Thank you. Get some rest. We'll check in with you again soon. In the meantime, as we continue, some more NBA conversation. I want to get back to this. You need to hear what Klay Thompson said to Draymond Green yesterday, and we need to dive into what it really means. We'll do that as we continue. I don't want you to miss it. Plus, are the Bills asking Josh Allen to do too much? Have they already given away the AFC East? One voice is going to say absolutely not as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We We are back on Get Up. The next game is called Factor Fiction, and Booger McFarland gets up early with us this morning, along with Marcus and RG3. Booger, if I said the Dolphins should draft a quarterback instead of committing to Tua, is that fact or fiction?
The Green Dad's fiction. I think the Dolphins should pay Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, as far as that system he's in, he fits it perfectly. He's been healthy, and I think they should build around him. He led the NFL in passing last year. His accuracy, his timing, how he fits in Mike McDaniel's offense to me is perfect. Plus, I think from a fit standpoint, you got to give Tua an opportunity. He stayed healthy for the last year. That's fiction, Greeny.
I totally agree. Swagoo, let's stay in the division. If I said the Jets should draft a pass catcher at number 10 in the first round, is that fact or fiction?
I got to go fiction, and I love Babyface Yates, Phil Yates, who I call Babyface, had Brock Bowers going to the Jets. And look, that's amazing. Brock Bowers obviously is phenomenal. But these tackles have only played 30 of 67 games, and I like what they did with Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith, but I still think you need to look to solidify that position for the long term, beyond Aaron Rodgers' years as quarterback. So I would look at offensive tackle there as steal.
I totally agree. They need it for the short term, too. Meanwhile, RG3, if I said the Bills made a mistake trading Stephon Diggs away, is that fact or fiction?
Oh, Greeny, it's a fact. You traded your number one wide receiver and you kept him in the conference and gave him to C.J. Stroud for a 2025 second-round pick. I mean, come on. C.J. Stroud's not got Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, and Joe Mixon. So Booker T used to say, can you dig it? I can dig it for the Texans, but I cannot dig it for the Bills.
I'm with that, too. I mean, and Marcus, I'll start with I'm already looking in my crystal ball, and I'm seeing us having these conversations on Get Up in November when the Bills are 500, and people are saying the topic bar is going to say, what's wrong with Josh Allen? And the answer is going to be the Bills got rid of all the good players on their team. Half their defense is gone. Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis are gone. I think this was a very puzzling move that they made here. What do you think of it, Swagoo?
Yeah, in my mind, it's conceding that you are now in your remake of this football team when you start talking about Super Bowl windows and how effective you can be, not only in your division, but the AFC. Gee, you're not getting better by losing great players in the AFC, brother. We already know that monster in Kansas City. We know a healthy Cincinnati is really good. We're talking about the Jets if they stay healthy with all of the pieces that they added this year. So it's not just about if Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills can be a good football team. Yeah, they could be a good football team, but we're talking about Super Bowl and deep playoff run possibility. They not even close to some of these rosters. I didn't even mention the Baltimore Ravens, who i.e. signed Derrick Henry this offseason. As long as Todd Monken decides to run more than seven times in the playoff game, they could be a team that's potentially vying for the Super Bowl. A lot of people got better. A lot of rosters got better on already good teams that we saw go deep into the playoffs, and the Buffalo Bills took a step back with their personnel.
So, Booger, if to sort of continue the Factor Fiction theme, if someone said the Bills window, this little window of time here for the Bills, I mean, Josh Allen's going to be great for another decade, but in this particular window, the Bills window has closed. Is that, Booger, Factor Fiction?
Greeny, I think that's fiction. And guys, I think we have to remember sometimes when we look at these players' names and look at their performance, it doesn't necessarily match. If you look at Stephon Diggs the last 10 games of the season, his performance didn't match the name of Stephon Diggs that we've come accustomed to be known. And I think from a standpoint of this team, sometimes it's addition by subtracting. We've all been on teams where guys' attitude didn't fit the locker room. I'm not in the Buffalo Bills locker room, but here's the thing I'll say. From the outside looking in, it sure as hell looked like Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs didn't get along. We saw outburst after outburst after outburst. So if we're going to sit up here and say that that's bad for the team, when they get rid of that attitude, when they get rid of that personality, how can we also say that that's bad? Sometimes that can be good. And when you're Josh Allen and you're paid the amount of money that he's being paid, I think we're going to expect him to be able to bring up some of these receivers that they're going to draft. I don't think there's any question, Greeny. They are going to draft a receiver in the first or the second round, maybe both. With that being said, I think they're going to expect Josh Allen to take this young guy, whoever it is, pair with those tight ends, and now you have to raise this offense. We can't sit up here and criticize Stephon Diggs for the attitude, and then when they get rid of it, say, oh, okay, now the Buffalo Bills are going to miss him.
Marcus, real quick on that, go.
Yeah, I understand what Boogie is saying. We've all been in locker rooms. We know that continuity matters. Problem is, in the NFL now, it's personnel driven, Boog. Like, we could talk about the – man, you got to get that figured out for 20 weeks during the season in order to keep that production. And I know that Joe Brady didn't have Stephon Diggs in the role that we had grown accustomed to. He still was a 1,000-yard receiver. And this is the thing for me, Boog. We talking about Stephon Diggs. Gabe Davis is gone. The heart and soul of that defense is gone. When you start talking about the other side with Poyer. Dude, this has been a mass change in this organization. It happens when you pay $250 million to your quarterback. We all understand that. Can Josh Allen overcome, like Patrick Mahomes had the ability to do? But something we don't talk about with the Kansas City Chiefs in this run, particularly this year, enough because of Patrick Mahomes, is how good that defense was and how they hit on all of those young players that they had to depend on. That is what you're banking on in Buffalo when we already know that these other teams have hit on the players that's in their locker room. Stephon Diggs walking out that locker room is a big deal, boss. And I'm talking about from the standpoint of when you put your 11 on the field, what does that other team have to account for? They don't have to account for the fact that Diggs is out there no more. And that matters for Josh Allen and the rest of the people on this offense.
Real quick, RG3, finish it up.
Yeah, Greeny, listen, the Bills made a mistake because they traded Stephon Diggs when they didn't have to, and they don't have a clear replacement for his production on the football team. Not only that, like, Stephon Diggs led the NFL in receptions with 445 over the last 4 years. He was fourth in touchdowns and yards. But getting rid of Diggs, losing the heart and soul of your defense with Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde on the other side, and also having six of your eight captains now no longer on the roster, only one receiver had a catch last year for the Buffalo Bills. I'm looking at this in a way of saying, when you make a move like this, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, we've seen coaches and GMs do it in the past. And if you don't win immediately afterwards, you're putting more pressure on yourself and you're putting more on the shoulders of Josh Allen. If you guys remember, Bill O'Brien traded D-Hop in 2020. He didn't even make it through the season because they weren't able to win. And to me, that's putting Bean and McDermott in a bad spot because I really believe they've done a great job of making the Bills contenders over their tenure. But when you make this move with Diggs, you got to win right away. They got to draft two starting receivers in the draft or find a way to trade for T. Higgins and or Brandon Ayuk so that Josh Allen isn't out there by himself.
Fair enough. But staying in the division, one other thing I just need to do. Booger, the last time you were on, you had some very harsh words for the Jets. Now, I think mostly those were aimed at me. But you aimed them at the Jets. And so I came ready today. Cindy, please take that shot.
Get him,
I present to you Pineapple Jack in the Jets helmet. And I have decreed the following. Every day from now until the season, he will wear that helmet in our studio. So Jack is the man who he is our dopo, our director of printing operations. And so from this day forward, we call him Pineapple Jack on the radio. But he is Jets Jack, Booger, and he will wear that helmet every day from now until the season begins. Booger, every single day. That's right.
First of all, Jack, hey, I'm sorry for you. I'm going to pray for you, brother. Hopefully, Greeny will allow you to take that helmet off.
Getting paid.
Greeny, you can come up with any scenario you want to. He can put the helmet on. He can put the uniform on. He can even get a tattoo of the Jets logo on his chest. It's still not going to change the fact that if you can't protect a 40-year-old quarterback with better tackles than they have right now, if you can't get a team that has a lot of ifs to stay healthy, I don't care what they wear, what they tattoo. He can put some Jets draws on. It still is not going to matter. You got to protect the 40-year-old quarterback, Greeny.
Okay, I'll lend him mine. I would take a quick break on that thought, but again, Jets Jack is now a feature.
That's way No.
Meanwhile, you got to hear the Klay Thompson stuff. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, it's candid. You need to hear it, and you will next. Plus, we got sneaky himbo for legs. Real quick, here we go. Who is the only two-time consensus All-American in UConn men's basketball history? The answer is next.
You had to go college on me to get me. I get it.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lays it in. The Huskies run it to a second straight national championship. Put in the work, sweat in the tears, find that step in the game. The second verse is the same as the first. UConn repeats.
Everyone in this organization gave everything so that we could win everything this year.
The Huskies back-to-back national champions.
All right, the sights and sounds from last night. Here we go. What? How many have you gotten in right in a row?
Four straight, yeah.
Let's see if you can make it an even five. Who was the only two-time consensus All-American in UConn men's basketball history?
Wow, this is hard because they've had a lot of great players. I mean, they've had a lot of lottery picks, guys that have had long NBA careers. Mm-hmm. High level. So I'm going, obviously, from that pool of guys. You got Ray Allen, you got Rip Hamilton, you got Emeka Okafor, you got Danielle Marshall, but I'm going to go with Kemba Walker.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. You said the right name.
I said one of those guys.
It's Rip Hamilton. Rip Hamilton was a two-time consensus All-American.
I knew it was one of those guards. I was torn between Rip.
All the others once. Tristan Newton, Shabazz Napier, Kemba Walker, Hasheem Thabeet,
wow.
Rudy Gay, Emeka Okafor, Ray Allen, and Donovan Marshall. See, in order for him to get to, though, he's got to change it to college.
He does. Go to college. Listen, it was fair, though. It was fair.
No, it was not fair.
I had a pool of guys. I had a shot at it.
Don't pretend this is okay. He is a very
streak is over.
He is a very small man, and he had to go to college to beat you because he knows he can't stump you on the NBA. Speaking of which, this was the most interesting stuff from yesterday to me by far. The Warriors are kicking off their final stretch of the regular season tonight against the Lakers. Right now, they're in the final play-in spot in the West. But we've seen all the tumult again this year with Draymond Green. Well, yesterday, on his podcast, he had his teammate, Klay Thompson, on. And this exchange, I thought, was fascinating.
I want to ask you this question. And I want to ask it because I'm afraid of the answer. When I get ejected or something of that nature or suspended, what do you feel? How do you feel? What are your thoughts? Please be brutally honest with me. It's going to crush me, but I need to hear it.
Well, I mean, it happens. I mean, you know what, Dre, you're kind of a throwback player. So when you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. Me and Steph are really nice guys, like probably too nice, you know? And we could never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. We just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of just like shaking your head that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you.
So there's so much here that I find so interesting, and it transcends basketball, certainly, which is why I wanted all of the players in on this conversation. And frankly, I think it transcends sports. I think there's an element to this that practically anyone who's ever had any relationship of professional or personal nature can relate to. So I wanted to hear what everyone thought of that and what everyone thinks in general of the legacy of what is one of the great trios in the history of that or any sport, what they have accomplished. And with that as the backdrop, what it is we just heard there. Legs, it's your sport, so I'll start with you. When it first happened, you had very strong words on Draymond. What's your reaction today?
Well, listen, Draymond, he opened up the door for Klay to say whatever he wanted to, but also Draymond knows who Klay Thompson is. And Klay Thompson in that interview, by the way, that went on for a lot longer than that soundbite. Klay Thompson said, you know, Steph and I are really nice guys. He prefaced everything with that. And guess what? He again exhibited that because he held back. Like, he tried to be honest in terms of the impact on the team. I don't actually think Klay Thompson was being honest in terms of what internally Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, and that organization feels when moments like that happen. Yeah, I was very strong about this because you're talking about a team that still has Steph Curry playing at that level. And when you can't control your emotions to that extent 4 minutes into a game that you have to have this late in the season, that there's no other word for it for me other than selfish, because that's a guy that can't put the collective ahead of his own venting needs, his own emotions. He can't put the brake on it. And by the way, he had a lot of time between the first tech and the second tech. It's not like he got hit up, bang, bang, two in a row, which happens sometimes. He got one, took another 90 seconds to get the second one. Like, at some point, you have to be able to rein that in for the betterment of your team. And that's really what Klay Thompson was thinking. And the body language on Steph Curry that night, to me, said more than anything that I could say. He was despondent, exasperated, spent, emotionally exhausted was his reaction when this happened, knowing that they've got to now go try to win a game for 44 minutes without a guy that is critical to their success. So that's really what Klay Thompson is thinking. And if you put a thought bubble on Steph Curry that night, boy, I'd like to know how strong that thought would have been. So Klay held back to the best that he could while giving Draymond credit and letting him know, hey, man, we need you out there. It goes far beyond that for me in terms of, you know, your state of mind in the moment if you're Draymond Green. You just cannot allow that to happen because you're accountable to your teammates.
I want to hear everybody's reaction. RG3, you were nodding along there. What did you think of all this?
Yeah, I mean, Legs, I think you know this. Like, when you're in the locker room and your teammates truly love you and care about you, you can feel that. And I think Klay took that long pause before he answered Draymond's question because they care so deeply about Draymond. They want Draymond to be Draymond, but they need him to be a leader and not a distraction. You know, in my playing career in Washington, I knew who the enforcer was on our offense, and it was our left tackle, Trent Williams. And when he wasn't out there, I felt that. He was my left tackle. He protected my blind side. When Draymond's not out there on the court, the rest of his team feels that. Like I said, they want him to be Draymond, but they also want him to understand there's a line that you can't cross. And at this point, if he's going to help them finish strong, this big three that they have, help them finish their career strong there in Golden State and have a chance this year, he has to control himself and use that old adage of, listen, you can't control everything, but you can control your response. And Draymond is a champion. He has to start acting like a champion down the stretch because his teammates need him.
Bug?
You know, so sometimes, guys, we can look at this team and realize that they can't do it without him. And right now they can't do it with him. When I say they can't do it without him, think about this. They invented this small ball lineup, the death lineup, when they put Draymond Green at the five. And they would not have won those championships had Draymond been there. He's the emotional leader. He's the guy that sets the tempo because it's a lot of nice guys on their team. Even when they had KD on their team, there was a lot of nice guys on their team. You got to have an emotional leader on every team. In football for us, it was Warren Sapp. And we had to learn to deal with the emotional outbursts, whether they were good or bad, because we knew that Warren Sapp set the tone and tempo for our team. And the Warriors have had to do that with Draymond Green. Well, now, guess what? He's costing them. And I guarantee you, Steph is saying, man, I know we can't do it without him. Right now, we can't do it with him. But we really need to get rid of the emotion. And it's kind of a crux because they need that emotion. Because as Klay said, him and Steph are a bunch of nice guys. You got to have somebody to set the tone and tenor for your team. And I think right now, the Warriors have to deal with the good and the bad. The bottom line is this, is that the Warriors aren't as good anymore because the guy that Draymond asked that question is not as good anymore. Klay Thompson is not what he was. And I think their ability to deal and put up with all the outbursts from Draymond Green used to be mitigated based on how good they were. And that had a lot to do with Klay Thompson. He's not the player he used to be, but maybe that's a side note in this conversation.
Go ahead, big fellas. Marcus, finish it up.
Yeah, the day after this happened, I saw Legs. I watched you guys on Get Up, and Legs talked about, I'm not prefacing all of the great things that Draymond has done. And we get like that on television because we respect what guys bring to the game outside of the current topic that we're talking about right now. And I've been in that situation. I understood where Legs was coming from. But we can't talk about Draymond Green in a vacuum. Because the same things, like my old uncles used to say, the same things that'll make you laugh or make you cry. And in this particular situation, that's what Boog was alluding to. Without this Draymond Green, you're not four-time champions. I don't care how much we talk about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and their greatness. Without Draymond, you are not four-time champions. Without him doing these type of things but not being ejected in particular situations, you don't win four championships. This iteration of Golden State is not who they are, and we don't think about them if Draymond Green is not on this basketball team. Now, did we know that he would be as important? Probably not in the beginning stages of what we saw this team do. The other part of that is now we're late in their careers where they need to squeeze every ounce. The West has gotten tremendously better. So your margin of error has went down and you're not as good as you used to be, to Boog's point about Klay. So now it's obviously polarized when Draymond makes these decisions. But this is something we've been talking about for years. The hard part about Draymond Green is you can't talk about him in a vacuum. When you talk to people about him off the court, they love him. He's a great dude. On the court, this persona, the things that Draymond Green is doing is the reason why he's probably going to be in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It ain't going to be because of points. It ain't going to be because of rebounds. It ain't going to be because of assists. It's going to be because of the impact that he's had on winning four championships for the Golden State Warriors. So I don't want to always have a conversation about Draymond Green and all of the terrible things, because we should. That's a part of his career. But we also can't talk about it in a vacuum. Like, this attitude and his approach to basketball does not have a complete stamp on why the Golden State Warriors became the team that we see them to be in the past and done all the tremendous things. Obviously, you don't want the ejections and all of the things that have transpired, but those in the lines of those ejections and the craziness of Draymond Green, four championships have been won in Golden State when they couldn't win a damn thing before they got there.
Super quick, Legs. Go ahead.
Yeah, my thing is this. Nothing anybody said do I disagree with. Obviously, I know the impact that he's had in winning. My point all along is, you know, you can be both. You can be a good dude off the court. You can be a super intense good dude on the court. You can be a versatile guy committed to winning and also be able to rein in your emotions in the moment. And for me, that night, why I got angry actually watching that game when that happened and I saw Steph Curry's reaction – Steph Curry, more than anybody else, is responsible for that team's success. And if you're Draymond Green, you owe that dude in that moment to be out there when you know he is fighting for his life, as competitive as Steph is, to be a part of the postseason. And at that point, it was hanging by a thread because Houston was hot on their heels. Now, I think they've put it to bed and they're going to make the play-in. But at that time, you didn't know. It was very uncertain. And now you just left them out there by themselves for 44 minutes to play without him. So I'm just saying you can have all of it. And in the moment, I just felt like Draymond Green let those guys down that night. Nobody's denying his impact on winning and the importance of the organization.
No doubt. I think we all get that. I mean, people are like 360-degree 3D, creatures, and you have to take it all in its totality. All right, it's a good conversation. Meantime, we got good games coming your way. Tomorrow night, our doubleheader, the Heat host the Mavs. That's 7:30 Eastern. Then Minnesota, Denver. Could that be a preview of a conference final? We'll see. Coverage tips with NBA Countdown. That's tomorrow night, 7 Eastern. Meanwhile, as we continue here, the D in Big D today stands for distraction. One of the boys, Big Three, may be ready to hold out. What does that mean? We'll get to the bottom of it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We are back, and we have to get to this here. We've talked so much about the Cowboys, obviously. Everybody does. But then ridiculous things keep happening, all right? You know the situation with Dak Prescott. He has the second highest cap hit in the league. No trade clause, no franchise tag. He has them completely over a barrel. Now Dallas is picking up Micah Parsons' fifth-year option, but they place the option on him as a defensive end rather than a linebacker, which would pay him $3 million fewer dollars in 2025. That situation feels unsettled. And speaking of that, CeeDee Lamb is now entering the final year of a rookie deal, a fifth-year option that'll pay him $18 million, or slightly less, unless a new deal is agreed upon. And with that thought in mind, the Dallas Morning News says, quote, barring a contract extension that, when complete, is expected to make Lamb the highest-paid wide receiver in NFL history, Lamb won't take the field. He is an elite player on the cusp of market-resetting compensation. Participating in the spring under a rookie contract team option is not what elite players do. So, what the actual heck are we supposed to make of this? Robert, for those just joining us, and Booger was not with us in our first hour, how would you sum up the Dallas Cowboys offseason to this point?
Yeah, I mean, Greeny, the Dallas Cowboys have had the worst offseason in the NFL. I mean, you can't be all in on your team if you're all out on your three best players. You've already lost significant pieces to your offensive line, depth pieces to your defense. So I don't understand what their goal is right now. I understand that CeeDee Lamb may hold out because he doesn't have a contract this offseason, and he should do that. But what is the goal for the Cowboys? Are they trying to change their culture? Are they trying to change the narrative about them being all about ball and winning a championship? Because right now, they don't have any situational awareness. When we talk about that in football, it's about making the right play, making the right throw at the right time. And for the Cowboys to come out and say that they're not going to give Dak Prescott a new contract, have him play it out. You got reports that they don't like Micah Parsons. And now you have this one about CeeDee Lamb. If their goal was to change the narrative and make it about winning, then they're failing miserably. I said this before in the last hour, but it's the truth. The Cowboys are acting like a toxic partner right now. You address some things with them. They say they're going to fix it. They do it for 2 weeks, and then they revert back to their old selves. And I know the fans have to be tired of this circus that they're constantly having to go through with the Dallas Cowboys. I don't understand their methods right now because it's not focused on winning. It's about all the distractions happening around the team.
Look at the smile on Booger's face. We're exhausted. Go, Marcus. I mean, how would you sum up the relationship you as a fan have with the organization right now, Swaggo?
G, let me hear Boog. Let me hear Boog, G, because he's smiling.
What the hell is wrong with you, Bug?
Yeah. This is not a smiling matter.
Right, guys, because it's April 9th. We act like we're playing football tomorrow. It's April the 9th. We haven't even gotten to the draft. We haven't gotten to June. And we act like they've kicked Dak, CeeDee, and Micah off the team just because they haven't gotten a deal. Swaggoo, let me ask you this. You play for Jerry Jones. Has Jerry ever not paid anybody that he wanted to pay? Now, he did it on his own time. He did it when he wanted to, but has Jerry ever lost anybody that he wanted to keep, Marcus? You tell me that. And so let's stop panicking because it's April the 9th. Exactly. This is April the 9th, guys. We haven't gotten to the draft. I get it. The teams are incomplete. And we want to come in here and say the Cowboys season is a doom. When we get to training camp in July, and if this team looks exactly the same as it does, and CeeDee Lamb is not there, and everybody's talking about they don't like Micah, I will come on here and I will say, everyone, I was wrong. But until then, it's April the 9th, and one thing I know about Jerry Jones is the owner of the most profitable football team in America. He understands how to garner attention. He understands how to keep us talking about the Cowboys, and we continue to fall for this trap. Let's take a moment. Let's relax and let Jerry do what Jerry always does, which is take the attention, and then in the end, He paid Dak. In the end, he's going to pay Micah. And in the end, Swagoo, he's going to pay CD.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Boog is really pissing me off right now. Because Boog, this ain't about if he going to pay CD Lamb. They going to pay CD Lamb. This ain't about if Micah Parsons is going to get paid. They going to pay Micah Parsons. But Boog, I ask you this. If they re-sign CD Lamb and Micah Parsons and stay the same, are you going to have the Dallas Cowboys going to a Super Bowl? Are you going to have them a favorite in the NFC? Hell no. I can answer it for you. You ain't got to tell me. Okay? Two really good players that are franchise builders, but that ain't going to change it. Listen, the contract for CD Lamb is going to get done. Number one wide receivers ain't just walking around like him over the NFL. That ain't the issue, though, Bug. The issue is, why don't you handle this business so you can handle other business? The other business is the most important business. Like re-solidifying your offensive line. Like making sure you have the pieces on the back end. We don't know what's going to happen with Stephon Gilmore. That's a cornerback. Your franchise cornerback is coming off of an ACL tear. Bro, this has nothing to do with CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb ought to go to Cabo like Ezekiel Elliott did until the deal is done. Everybody is fine with that. It's cool. He's going to show up. The problem is, Bug, we not having this conversation in a vacuum. You need flexibility. You need deals to get done for your main guys so you can go get other dudes that's going to help you win a championship. That's the issue with the Cowboys. I have zero doubt that CeeDee Lamb will be back in the building. I have a lot of doubt that they're going to be able to make enough moves to put themselves in Super Bowl contention.
Fair enough. That's
patience,
well said.
Big fella. Have some patience.
Well, speaking of patience.
Have a little patience, guys.
I've been waiting for 4 years, Bug. I've been waiting for 4 years. I've been waiting, Bug.
Let me finish
How
with a smile on everyone's face.
How long do you want me to wait, damn it?
Marcus, it might be a little longer. But you know who is a very patient man, it seems? I think Robert Griffin III is a patient man. You just pointed out today is April 9th. Cindy, can we take a one shot, please? Is that a Christmas tree behind you, Robert? I mean, I ask on behalf of America, who was wondering.
What is happening?
Yes, it is a Christmas tree. Girl, dad of four, so every day is Christmas. And the office right now is the storage room.
Hey,
so,
listen. Hey, No. I am not going to let you blame your kids and blame those girls on that Christmas tree. Yeah. Understand this. As a grown man and a married man, at some point, take the damn Christmas tree down. Stop blaming your kids for the fact that you have a Christmas tree up in your house in April.
Yeah. And Robert, by the way, Happy New Year. It's nice to see you. But, you know, if that seems like the right time.
Listen to what he said. The office is the storage. The man lives in a 9 million square foot house. And the damn office got
that storage.
I'm out of time. Roland, first take is next. UConn, what do they prove with back-to-back titles? Are the Warriors done? Molly, Stephen A., Shannon, and more with Brock Purdy along the way. First take, top of the hour on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Old Dominion Freight Line, helping the world keep promises. And by AutoZone, get in the zone. Once again, congratulations to the men of UConn. Congratulations, Dan Orlovsky, who keeps calling me out on my text. And how about Molly is going to go nuts today on First Take, right?
Oh, no doubt about it. I'll be over there in a minute.
Yeah, he's going over to First Take. We're going over to ESPN Radio with full coverage of the UConn men and everything else. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.